Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast with me, Maya Fisher-French.
And with me, Mapalo Maku.
Each week, we'll be discussing the stories we're working on and which you can read more about in the City Press. So this week, Mapalo wrote an article about calculating your net worth. And Mapalo, I love this piece because it's something I've been doing for about 8 years now, where I take my assets and my liabilities. And at the beginning of every year, I can track where I'm at. And I'm happy because mine's been going up every year, down. But it's such a lovely way to kind of get a sense of, for me, of achievement. It's just like saying, okay, I'm moving forward. And so I wanted to really just, for this podcast, to unpack for the listeners, like, how does one calculate net worth? How do you use it? And what does it mean?
Yes. No, Maya, you know what? The net worth calculation is really one of my favorite calculations ever. Okay. And believe me, I've been doing it since I left varsity when I had absolutely nothing to my name.
Oh, that's, well, you probably also had no liabilities. You had no debts. So that was also probably quite an, that part's probably been climbing a bit too.
Yeah, because of the bond mainly because of the bond at this point. But really, for me, it's such a motivational thing, calculation for me to say, you know what, by this time next year, I want to have increased my net worth by so much. So I really love this calculation. And in the article, Maya, I speak about, you know, how, you know, why people focus so much on their salary as opposed to focusing on the net worth, on their net worth.
Yes, it's all about what hits my bank account, not what am I actually worth. Yeah.
Exactly. And the differentiating factor is with your net worth, you're saying, how much of my salary am I keeping actually? You know? And one of the questions I think I did ask in the article, and I've asked this when I'm doing my presentations, I've said to people, think back to when you started working. So if you've been working for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, however long, how much of your salary have you kept all these years? And that is reflected in your net worth. So in the investments that you have, and of course, in the liabilities that you do have.
And it's an interesting one, Mapalo, because actually, if you go back, so say you've been working for 10, 15 years, go work out on average what your salary was, times that by the number of months that you've been working, and the number's very big. And it probably doesn't anywhere look like your net asset worth. And that is, I think, to me, a big shock when we realize how much we're not keeping.
There we go. There we go. And imagine if you repeat that type of behavior throughout your career. So let's say you still have 20 more years to work, or 15, or 20, however long, and you keep on continuing the same behavior, just how much you have lost out on, you know, increasing your net worth. So really, for me, the net worth calculation is more of a shift in terms of how you handle your finances. And I remember, Maya, at the book launch, someone asked me, you know, how do we manage our finances as a couple, right? It was a young lady who was about to get married. And I said to her, you know what, I think one of the things that you really can do from the beginning is calculate your net worth as a couple and decide that, you know, this time next year, this is what we want to achieve. And automatically, Maya, that really just changes your decision making as a couple altogether. You know, whether you're going to have kids and now you think of buying a bigger car, perhaps, you know what, the ones that you have are okay. But you say, you know what, we want to increase our net worth so that 5 years later, we can build on our assets.
So maybe just take a moment to explain how to calculate your net worth. So if you're a young couple and you say, okay, how do I go about doing this?
Absolutely. So Maya, one of the things, actually, maybe let's have a conversation about this first, right? You calculate your net worth by adding all your assets and getting a total asset value minus all your liabilities, right? But
so your assets, would be your house, your pension fund, any investments that you have.
Absolutely. So anything that is of value that will bring, that will appreciate over a period of time, that is an asset. But now, Maya, let's talk about the primary residence. I mean, I think we've spoken about this together frequently. Is your primary residence part of your assets?
Yes. So to me, a primary residence is part of your assets, but it's not an investment. There's a difference. Yeah. Because yeah. it's an asset in the sense that you have a liability against it. So you've got a bond against it. So you can't just, you know, you'd feel very depressed if you didn't at least put them. So to me, absolutely, your house is part of your asset base. Even from an estate planning perspective, your house is part of yeah. your asset base. What it is not is part of your investments. So when you get to retirement, we don't like to include. So if you say, for example, you want to have 10 million rand on retirement, your house shouldn't form part of that 10 million. That should be something else altogether. So I think that's the difference, difference on your house, but it definitely is an asset. And of course, by reducing your bond, you know, the net asset value goes up of the property.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the net worth calculation really is your assets minus your liabilities. If your net worth asset value is positive, it means that you're in the right direction. If, like most South Africans, your net worth is on the negative, meaning that your liabilities are way more, it means that you really need to reevaluate and say, how can I work at this? And also, Maya, it really works, you know, you have to take it back to saying, you know, how do I pay off debt? It makes you realize just how much debt you are carrying when you do this calculation.
It's so true. That's the number that shocks everyone, because when you start adding on, okay, you kind of know that your primary residence is you've got a mortgage. Most people can actually tell you their mortgage balance, but very few people, when they start to add all the other debt, the car debt, the credit card, the personal loans,
the stock cards, you name it.
It gets quite scary. And we know, remember, you know, we run Money Makeover, which we're going to be launching again in January, February next year. So Howard, who was one last a year before, I think 2 years ago, he had these, you know, he was paying this monthly installment every month on, because he had all these properties that he was developing. And the monthly installment was hurting him, but what he'd never done is he'd never added up the total loan amounts, and he owed over R1 million, and he did not know that. He didn't understand. He'd never thought about it like that. So I think from a liability perspective, if you want a big wake-up call, go add up how much debt you have outstanding.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Maya. And also just that being able to set a goal for yourself, right? To say, you know what, this is where I am, because it really gives you just a snapshot of what's going on in your finances. So it gives you the ability to go back and say, you know what is my goal for next year? I mean, we're going into 2020, Maya. You know how people always go about their New Year's resolution. So perhaps this is a good time to do this calculation and say, okay, what will my picture look like by the year 2021 January?
Absolutely. And so there's two ways of dealing with this. And this is an interesting one, Mapula. And I was actually saying to you before we went on air that this is a question I've been getting this whole last couple of weeks. I've been doing a workshop for young professionals. And this is a big question is, so you've got to, remember, you've got your asset side and you've got your liability side. So you can improve your net worth either by investing more or by paying off debt. And which one should you be focusing on? And that's been an interesting question that I've been receiving. What is your view?
Yeah. So Maya, obviously, I always go back to how much is the debt costing you? What does carrying this debt cost you? So you'll normally find that the interest rates on these debts are quite high, and it costs you money to be servicing those debts over and over again. So the best way for me, really try to pay off as much debt as possible. But of course, Maya, for me, if it's a property, I would probably just put in a little bit more into it. I wouldn't direct all my extra funds into it, so that I can still invest into, I don't know, tax-free savings accounts and the likes. But definitely, if you have credit card overdraft, for me, that would have to go first.
And I think that house paying off one is very interesting, because it was on Twitter this last week. People were debating it. Yes, but you're going to get a tax-free, you know, if you pay off your house, it's a whatever, 9.5-10% guaranteed tax-free. But I agree with you. I'm concerned that we mix goals here. And remember, I said your house is not an investment. So your house is somewhere you live. And there's a, if you didn't live in your house, you'd be paying rent. So you know, house debt is not as expensive as definitely your credit cards, all of those things. And if you're not investing, a woman was telling me, she works in retirement planning. So people come to her when they retire. And she said so many people focused only on paying off their home loan and never invested. And then they came to retirement and they didn't have, they kept thinking their house was would help them in retirement. Your house doesn't help you in retirement because you still have to have somewhere to live. So I think that one does need, for me, on that net asset value, there has to be some kind of diversification of risk. So part of it is building up your investments and also offshore. You know, we probably should be doing something on offshore, I think, in one of the future podcasts. Yeah. But, you know, this is a Rand-based asset. It's an illiquid Rand-based asset. There's a lot of other things to look at. You're trying to do a complete financial plan. So I think just focusing on that home loan only and not building up the investment side is perhaps a risky strategy.
Talking about home loans, you wrote a piece 2 weeks ago about, you know, using a personal loan versus a home loan, you know, to pay off your bond. Now, this is a very, very interesting topic, Maya. And again, you know, it shows that a lot of people don't really understand interest, paying interest for your debt. Take us through what you wrote about, Maya.
Yeah, so I had a reader contact me and she said, she had his home loan and she was paying a little bit extra into it every month, but it wasn't coming down quick enough. So she wanted to go and take a 5-year personal loan and use it to settle the home loan. So I think the amount was 420,000 Rand. So get a personal loan over 5 years, settle the mortgage so that she could have the mortgage settled and then pay off the personal loan over 5 years. And it was so interesting to me because what she didn't understand was that she could pay off the mortgage in 5 years. There's nothing stopping you paying off your home loan as fast as you want. I mean, we did talk about why you may want to balance that with investing just now, but in this particular case, so what I did, she happened to actually have her mortgage with Nedbank. So I went to Nedbank and I said, could you show her because obviously they had access to her actual balances and her repayment and all of that. And they did a great example for us of the difference of what that choice meant. So on the personal loan, she would have paid 19% per annum on the personal loan, 19. On the home loan, her interest rate is 10.5%. So over 5 years, the identical, so paying off to 420,000 Rand, her installment on the home loan would have been 9,000. So if all she did was she increased her installment to 9,000 Rand, she would have paid off her home loan in 5 years. And she would have spent about 543,000 Rand in total. On the personal loan side, her installment would have been 1,000 Rand more, at 10,900 Rand a month. But 1,000 Rand, so why do it? Because suddenly you're going to have 1,000 Rand less for the same outcome of being debt-free in 5 years. So it makes, there's no difference in the outcome, except the actual amount that you would repay was over 100,000 Rand more in interest. So it just, and I just look and I think when I get these kind of questions, I realize, Maplo, your and my job will never end because it feels like people really, we'll be here forever, guys. Thank you. It just, this lack of understanding. And I think a lot of it must come from the financial industry that they're not having conversations with their clients. They're not explaining things to their clients in some way because this woman was about to do this. And had she not contacted me, she would have gone and got himself basically gone and spent 100,000 Rand more than she needed to. And again, what also came out of this conversation was that, and actually, because I had this conversation with a couple of banks to see if this was some sort of trend they were picking up. And what I picked up was that some people, there is quite a big cost in buying a house, as, you know, the transaction fees in terms of registering a bond. So so people say, well, you know what, I'm not going to take out a home loan because I'm going to have bond registration costs. I'm going to take out a personal loan. And I'm talking about the affordable housing of 500,000 Rand. So 500,000 Rand. And I did the same calculation. I said, okay, so say you bought a house for 500,000 Rand and you took a personal loan for 500,000 Rand. Or you registered the home loan and that would have cost you about 20,000 Rand in fees. So your one loan was 500,000 personal loan or 520,000 Rand home loan. At those two different interest rates, one of 19% and one of 10.5%, you would land up having again paid 100,000 Rand more for that personal loan. So it just, even then, it just does not make sense. Yeah. And I think it's very important just to understand that the interest rate really, really matters.
I think people can't grasp the fact that, you know what, you can actually pay off your home much quicker And the play on interest rates is really, really important. And I think also, Maya, people don't see the long-term effects of paying a high interest rate. And they never do this type of calculations.
And I think, Maplo, often that is hidden from us by monthly installments.
So when we always focus on the monthly installment, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can make your monthly installment get lower and lower and lower just by extending term. So if I can I can solve all your monthly problems simply by extending the loan out by another 12 months, and suddenly you feel it feels more affordable. But the cost of that over time is enormous.
Yeah. Sure, Maya. I'm looking at the numbers. Okay, so do you think that banks... not to put them under the bus here, but you think that if someone were to go and say, okay, I'm getting this home loan for this reason, do you think that someone, a consultant, would say, you know what, this is actually not a wise decision?
I could only hope so. Let's believe it at that. And also, just to end off this podcast, you can also negotiate your bond registration fees. If you are a good customer and the bank wants your business, you know, also ask them to sharpen the pen on the pencil on the home loan registration costs.
And Maya, for me, actually reading that article, I was like, goodness, I did not think about this.
In terms of what?
So the negotiate.
Yeah, you can. I have to tell you, there was a certain bank, and I'm not sure if I'm allowed to publicly say this, but they offered to move my... I bank with them and my home loan's not with them, and they actually said that they would transfer my home loan, they'd give me 0.25% less and waive all bond registration fees. Wow. So I'm just saying, have a good credit record and you can probably negotiate.
Absolutely. That's what I'm doing from now on.
So that's a wrap for today. If our listeners would like to learn more about these or any money-related topics, they can go to the City Press website or to your website,
womanandfinance.co.za,
or my website, mayaonmoney.co.za.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to 064-554-3959, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Because we want to know what it is that you want to know. You've been listening to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, featuring the contributors of the City Press Personal Finance Pages.